One thing you can think about as an administrator, and you have to spend time on the ground to know what these things might be, is what could you do to make the lives of your teacher just a little bit better, just a little bit easier?
Welcome to season two of Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branchy Minds, featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branchy Minds team, here to lead conversations with educational leaders and experts, and to shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. Maybe you've been listening for a while, or this is your first episode. If you like what you hear, would you do us a favor by rating and reviewing us on iTunes? This is a fantastic way to tell us you enjoy what we are creating. Also, if you want more MTSS resources, sign up for our weekly newsletter using the link in the show notes. It's a new season of the podcast, and we have some exciting changes in store. We will still bring those big interviews with phenomenal educators and leaders doing great work in their schools and districts. But we are adding more episodes each month full of leadership insights, MTSS tips, and discussions around those tough topics in education. Today on the podcast, I bring you our new monthly Ask an Expert episode, where I chat with an expert on our team or from the field about some of those big questions in education. This week, Trudy Bender and I chat about those top-of-mind concerns for school leaders, such as teacher retention, attendance, and behavior, and the underlying issues connecting them. I hope you learn from her as much as I did. I am so excited to welcome back Trudy Bender to the podcast. Trudy is our senior manager of thought leadership content here at Branchy Minds and a former school psychologist, or you're still a school psychologist forever and ever. And then, and also a district leader in charge of MTSS and behavior. And she has a wealth of knowledge, and she's here for our Ask an Expert episode. And so we're just going to dive in. Trudy, what are some big things that are on the top of mind for school leaders these days?
Yeah, I think what a challenging job to be a campus or a district administrator right now, right? There are so many things that come top of mind. I think staffing, anything to do with recruitment and retention of staff right now is just huge. I think the work conditions, because of those concerns, right? A lot of our teachers are feeling just stressed out to the max. I know of a lot of schools that have not managed yet to fully staff their classrooms. And so people are scrambling to still serve their students well. Behavior, you know, I always have a bias towards talking about behavior, but I think behavior is another huge concern right now. And not just student behavior, but also some parent behavior. Have you heard teachers say, I can deal with the students, but a lot of parents are really struggling right now too and are frustrated. There's a lot of things coming in with that as well. Attendance is another really big concern. We have a lot of students who left during COVID and haven't come back, or, you know, there are a lot of really big issues with attendance. So I think that a lot of these issues are related to each other, right? They're all related to this underlying concern of how do we create a safe and supportive environment, not just for our students, but for our staff members.
Yeah, I think that's really true. I mean, really, when you come back to the core of what is really the concern and really underlying all of those things is that safe and supportive environment. And we know that if someone doesn't feel safe or a student doesn't feel safe, they're not going to be in optimal learning conditions. And if a staff member doesn't feel safe, not optimal work conditions. And so I feel like that's a big factor that school leaders are concerned about, and rightly so. And so, okay, so when we talk about this, like, what do you think, like, is some just areas that school leaders are, like, working towards? Like, what do you think that they can kind of, like, work at to create that school, that safe school, safe and supportive school environment?
Yeah, I'm I'm thinking of a school that I worked with, and you may actually be doing a podcast about this, who have really made some great improvements in attendance for their students and who have good staff retention. And their school guidelines are safe, respectful, responsible, ready to teach and learn. And I love this because it shows that that principal isn't just thinking about the environment for the students, but also for the teachers. Everything that we're expecting to be in place for our students in terms of safety and a respectful environment, a responsible environment, is also true for our teachers. And so putting a focus on building a good staff culture is incredibly important. And in my experience, there is a prerequisite for addressing any kind of concerns with school climate and culture, and that is the administrator's personal presence and concern. If I could give one piece of advice to administrators out there, something that I didn't always do well, but that was always really important for me, is that administrators must spend time in the real-world conditions of the people that they lead. If you're not doing that, then you do not really understand what your teachers, your campus administrators, what they're really up against. And this is not to say that the job and the role of district administrators or campus administrators is not incredibly challenging as well. It absolutely is. And my hats are off to those administrators. But if you want to understand what teachers are going through right now, and you've been out of the classroom for a little bit, you absolutely must get on the ground. Things have changed so dramatically in the last 3 to 5 years in the classroom. And really, it was changing even before that. Like, you were just seeing increasing behavior problems with really young students, increasing academic challenges, you know, kids who are just not coming to school with the attentional ability or some of these very basic reading and math skills. I think you saw this as a middle school teacher.
Yeah, well, and I was going to say, like, even since I've been in the classroom, you know, a couple of years ago, I feel like in the last 2 years, it's dramatically changed, you know, as we see sort of the impact of what, you know, the big changes in the world sort of like amplified. Cause I don't like to say, oh, this is all result of, you know, the pandemic or unfinished learning. I think that it kind of magnified some underlying problems that were within schools beforehand. And so I think that we're seeing that now more than ever. And like I said, it's just different than when I was in the classroom. Some of those big behaviors, it's just more frequent, you know, than it was before. And I think you're right in the sense that you said, you know, like that it's about really spending time on the ground and understanding that what's actually happening. Because I think that what I always struggled with as a teacher was that I felt like it was hard to explain to an administrator or a principal that didn't spend day to day in the classroom or longer than a 10-minute walkthrough, you know, because like when they walk in the room, kids kind of tend to be a little bit on their best behavior, but it's different if you're not aware of what's actually like happening. And I even felt like that even the time I spent out of the classroom, after a year, it became harder for me to relate to teachers because I wasn't in it day to day. And so I do think that that is a really important factor. And so I was going to say, so you're saying that school culture is more than jeans days and pizza, right?
Free pizza. Yes, although I do have to say that some of those small things that you do to express your care and concern for people do go a long way. And sometimes as an administrator, you don't have control over the big systemic issues. I know you talked about that in your last podcast, like these big issues like salaries and, you know, things like that that you may not have direct control over. But one thing you can think about as an administrator, and you have to spend time on the ground to know what these things might be, is what could you do to make the lives of your teacher just a little bit better, just a little bit easier, and show that personal care and concern. So giving a little autonomy in how teachers dress, like, come on, that's a gimme, right? how about, you know, I worked for one, I taught for 1 year at a private school in Trenton, New Jersey, and the pay was atrocious. It was not good pay. But they had really decent school lunches that were prepared for the students, and staff got free lunch every day. And the cook went out of their way to provide extra treats for staff. I was a busy mom. I had two little ones at that time, was expecting a third. And what a gift that was to have a great lunch with extras. And what it also did, even more important, is that it meant that the teaching staff ate together every day. And that time was protected. Maybe it happened, but I can't think of a time when that was encroached on for meetings or other things. And so you had that protected time to eat. If you know teaching, you know time to eat and go to the bathroom is a big deal, right? These are part of your work conditions. So those are small things. And yes, of course, free pizza and jeans day isn't going to solve all of those bigger issues. But paying attention to those little ways in which sometimes teachers are not respected, like their time is not respected, their autonomy is not respected, you know, trying to give some of that back can make a little bit of a difference.
So I think what you're talking about, like that small thing that, you know, that administrators can do, or just small things that they can start with. So let's maybe talk a little bit more about some ways that administrators could implement some of those small things today.
One thing that I would say to administrators, along with making that personal effort to be on the ground and to see, is to make sure that you are modeling and living whatever it is that you're expecting of your staff. So if you're expecting your staff to offer engaging, well-planned lessons with clear objectives, then your meetings and professional development had better have clear objectives, be engaging. You know, make sure that you're not, just like you wouldn't want your teachers to waste students' time, make sure you're not wasting their time. Another thing that you can do as an administrator is to make a really conscious effort to accept and offer effective feedback. So one of the books that we've read here at Branching Minds is Radical Candor, which is this idea that you care personally and you challenge directly, and you have to model that in every way, that personal care and concern, but also really being open to and wanting feedback to help yourself grow. And this is, it's kind of meta, right? Because we want our students to be open to feedback. It's the only way you learn, right? To have that teachable spirit, to really be open to the fact that you might be getting it wrong, or you still have a lot to learn. Like, that's the essence of being a learner, right? Of being a student. And so we want our students to model that, which means our teachers have to model that, which means that we have to model that, and not to assume that we know the best or the right way every time. You know, speaking about being present on the ground, I've worked for a lot of different superintendents, and I've had some superintendents who were immediately visiting every office through the whole district admin building. You could not go out on campus without seeing them there. They were just everywhere, all over the place, and really learning from the inside out about what people actually need. Then I've worked for others who really never had conversations with people below their cabinet and who were not at all present on campuses except for a photo op or some kind of curated opportunity or, you know, some kind of walkthrough in which they're judging what's happening without really understanding it. And so, you know, you can imagine which of those superintendents was more effective. So again, it's coming back to this idea of knowing your people and really being open to hearing feedback from the people on the ground. They're the ones who are going to give you your very best ideas for what you can do in the moment to make their lives a little bit better.
Well, and I think those superintendents that actually are present in the buildings, staff get to know them at the teacher level. And I remember as a new teacher, I worked in a school district where the superintendent and the cabinet, they would be, I mean, they were doing walkthroughs, but they also were just present in schools and different days. And, you know, they had a system, but, it provided me opportunity to like feel like I kind of knew them, and that made them more approachable. So if there was a concern, if I, you know, had an opportunity of like an idea or something I wanted to share, I felt comfortable in doing that. And it provided them visibility into my classroom that I had opportunities to be invited for different conversations or like helping with different things in the district as a new teacher, when maybe like no one would have seen me otherwise, you know? And so I think that that provided in like, it opened the door for more opportunity for a relationship and for, you know, I just feel like overall respect. And, and I just love that. I think being present matters a lot for, it matters to for the teachers to see their presence. It matters for the students and the community as well.
Oh, yeah. And that same superintendent I mentioned that was so present, he was also all over that community. He was present at sports games. He was present in churches. He was present at civic events and so involved in the community. And so he was able to get the kind of parent and volunteer involvement that our district had not seen in a long time. And it's because of that personal presence that he had. And the students knew him. They all knew who he was. Made a big difference.
Yeah. Well, and I worked for a principal who he made it a big thing that he was very present among the staff. He even did video. I'm pretty sure he still does them now. Does video announcements. So he recorded himself every day and you'd play the video in your seminar or your homeroom. And the kids knew his face and they knew who he was. Yeah. And he like is in front of them every day. And I just thought that's a fantastic way to multiply yourself.
Yeah.
And for the student, because sometimes the principal walks in the room and the kids are like, who's that? That's a big sign to say that you're not present enough.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Okay, so we have a few minutes left. Trudy, are there anything else that you think are just small ways that administrators or leaders could make things for staff just a little bit better?
Yeah, well, here's one other thing I would suggest. And so we've talked about personal presence. We've talked about making sure that you model what it is that you expect. But finally, I would say you've got to ask directly. I mean, how will you know if your culture is improving? There's really only two ways. People will vote with their feet. They'll leave, right? Like, you know, if you have huge staff turnover and so forth, you know that you've got an issue going on. But the other thing you can do is ask them directly. In order to do that, you really do need to provide some kind of anonymous means for people to tell you what they really think, because a lot of people are very uncomfortable and do not trust that their input will truly be anonymous. And so finding a way to do meaningful surveys where you get real feedback from your staff is so important. Kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier about modeling that you are open to feedback and then doing something with the feedback, showing that you are listening to the people that are with you. So a small thing you can do is even put together a little anonymous survey and put it out. And I want to offer a resource for that. PBISapps.org has a online anonymous free system. This is put together by the National PBIS Organization for Staff, in which you can sign up for an account and they will manage a free and anonymous survey for you. So that's a resource that I've used. You can also use an anonymous Google form if you feel like that might work. But, you know, find out what percentage of your staff might agree with statements like, I look forward to coming to work most of the time. I feel supported by the other teachers at my school. I feel safe at my school. You know, those kinds of questions. And then if you see that there's an issue, then you can double down and do a focus group, you know, pull out a handful of teachers and say, hey, you know, only 40% of our teachers reported that they enjoy coming to work. We've got to do something about this. You know, what are some practical ideas that you have that might make a difference? Just like we would do for students. You know, a lot of times we just fail to ask the students directly what would make a difference for them. I can think of a time at one of the high schools that I served where we did a survey like this, and several of the students mentioned a change in what was offered in the vending machine. This was not a hard fix. We were able to give them back something that they liked. And it really elevated what students thought about their school. And like, oh, they really are listening to us. Like, one thing I said to folks when they were doing surveys like this is make sure, even if it's a small thing, you take some of that feedback and you do something with it, because then the next time you're more likely to get additional feedback. If you take that feedback and then never do a darn thing with it, why should anyone bother to fill out your survey again? But if they can actually see that you're engaged and you're truly interested, they're going to give you that feedback. So I would really recommend measuring that, measuring your school climate. Find a way, and that way you can really see if you're making a difference over time as well.
Well, Trudy, thank you so much for just chatting with me about leadership and what leaders can do just to make things a little bit better. We know that the job of a school leader is very hard. Educators, their job is very hard. And so we strive here to offer them resources and help in whatever way we can. So thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And it is a hard job, but it's also a joyful job. And you make such a difference every day in the lives of those teachers and those students. I mean, it also just fills you up to know that you're doing good work. So hats off to all those administrators. And thanks for this conversation, Larissa. It was super fun.
Thanks for listening to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branchy Minds. Go ahead and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, if you are enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcast? Thanks for listening to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branchy Minds. Go ahead and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, if you are enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcasts on iTunes? This helps others find our podcasts and lets us know how much you love what we're creating. Branchy Minds is an educational technology company using learning.